listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up guys? It's JK3.
We are joined this evening by our annual celebrity guest. That is Mike DiRocco, who covers the Jags for ESPN, who is always with us around training camp time, pretty much. I think usually towards the end. I think every single time, pretty much towards the end around the first preseason game. So it's kind of weird how almost this has been like a spot on calendar wise. So we appreciate it, Mike.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I love doing it.
First thing we could start out with, and you kind of talked about this a little bit before we started recording, is the trade. Tell us what you think about the trade.
Yeah, Joe Schobert going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Still trying to determine what the compensation is going to be, but you know, I'm expecting it to be sort of a mid-round pick there, or maybe some sort of a dependent on how much he plays, or kind of what is that? However it works out, but I'm expecting to be a mid-round pick. I don't think they're going to get very much for him, but I'm not stunned that they did it, because they had been working Damon Wilson at first team Mike linebacker along with Schobert. They had kind of been rotating him out, and Wilson's a little bit better run. Well, I shouldn't say a little bit. Wilson's a big thumper. He's a better run defender. Schobert's a little bit better in coverage. So I guess they're going with the better run guy there alongside Miles Jack, and the fact that he's significantly cheaper. I don't think that that factored into it. Because they have so much salary cap space. But that was it's interesting move, because I was expecting, you know, Schobert to actually be a really big contributor in this defense. He's played in the 3-4 before, so this is not something that he's not dealt with before, but they're just going to go with Wilson instead.
Okay. I mean, that matches a lot of what they're doing too, as far as speed. You know, Urban, you know, always said that he wanted to get speed, one of these guys to play fast. So, just seeing Schobert in the last couple of years, he's not the fastest guy. I mean, he's faster than me for sure, but he's not the fastest guy, when it comes from a middle linebacker perspective. The move definitely does, kind of fit. And, you're the expert. You've seen all the snaps. So if he's fast, he's fast, right?
Yeah. And I really like Wilson, because he's a guy that's played on a team that won a Super Bowl. He's a big hitter. And that's the one thing this defense had to be was better against the run. I think we all know that. And they did some work on the defensive line, absolutely. And I think they're better there. But they really need that downhill, come smack you in the face linebacker. And as good as Miles Jack is, that's really not kind of what he does. He's better out in space and running around and making plays and freelancing. So this is a good fit for them. Wilson's a good fit for them. And, you know, it was interesting, because I wasn't expecting him to play as much as he had with the first team. And as the camp got on, it just continued. And I was just a little surprised at first, but now it makes sense.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we've noticed that more traditionally in camp is the stop recording, the signs that are up reminding people. So we haven't really seen too much. And then also with this camp, there hasn't been a lot of contact. So, you talk about him being a big hitter and things like that, kind of give us, how much contact has there been allowed at camp? They definitely want to try to keep guys healthy. You want to, keep people off those soft tissue injuries and things like that. There's more focus on individual stretching periods and things like that within camp. So how has this camp kind of deferred from the last five that we've had you on?
Yeah, it's certainly not like that 2017 camp when it was 13 straight days and full pads by any means. It's not been exceptionally physical, but they have had the full contact periods. There's just been no tackling to the ground as usual. But you're right. It's not been as physical as maybe we've seen before. But look, last year, they didn't have a preseason. So I think it was a little bit more of they were a little more physical and spent more time working on some tackling fundamentals than they normally would. So they've got the preseason games this year, so they don't really necessarily have to do it that way. But, Wilson, there, in the spring during OTAs, there were a couple of times where he knocked guys down. which you don't really want to see. But I mean, that's just kind of who he is. And it wasn't malicious. It's just, that's what he was. You know, that's who he is. That's what he does. And then there was a play, gosh, a couple of weeks ago, I want to say it might've been the first or second day in full pads, where he came over and laid a hit on ETN that kind of sent ETN sprawling onto the sideline there. So that was a little bit maybe more contact than they wanted, but you know, that's his game and that's who he is. So I you know, but overall, I wouldn't call it a physical camp, a very physical camp, but I mean, they've done their one-on-ones and they've done the 11 on 11 work. So, I mean, they're getting enough contact, but it's not, like I said, it's not like that 2017 camp where Doug Marrone had him in full pads pretty much every day.
It's amazing how, you know, that pickup has what it's turned into. And then the fact that, you know, Pittsburgh with Vince Williams retiring, you know, it's like, okay, so who instigated the trade? Was it Jax or was it, you know, Pittsburgh? But you would think Pittsburgh because they have the hole, but then, you know, Herbs is looking for any little edge that he can get at any position to add, whether if it's more speed, more physicality, but he's also adding depth at a lot of positions, especially wide receiver, which, you know, he's a 10-year wide receiver coach, so it makes sense. But I just think that it is what it is. I mean, that guy, you know, so far he's been amazing in practice. So it makes sense, and you just kind of move on from it and, you know, wish Schobert nothing but the best. I thought he would be around for a lot longer than he was, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, and he's – I mean, let's be honest. He played pretty well last year, and they won one game, and that was the worst defense in franchise history, yeah, points and yards wise. So, I mean, mm-hmm. He's not a real complete fit in the 3-4, but you know, I thought he would be around. He's serviceable, and I thought he would be here for at least another year. But you know, they're tinkering with this roster a lot more than I kind of anticipated. I wouldn't be surprised if there's two or three more moves along this way, not necessarily CJ Henderson, because I'm not buying into the other teams are interested in trading for CJ Henderson, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's another couple of trades between now and the start of the season.
We haven't recorded since the scrimmage on Sunday, and a couple quick things. You know, JK3 had mentioned the no photo video. I know. Well, that was going to be one of my questions, is just kind of what your takeaway was from that. But it was a different fan experience because of, as you mentioned, the no photo video stuff. You know, it just had a different vibe, not just from that perspective. That was kind of a funny thing because nobody really paid attention to that. To be
right,
honest,
I wouldn't have expected pictures. Anyone to either.
Yeah, I've got like 3 videos, 10 pictures. Don't tell.
Those are media passes.
Yeah, I know. The excitement, though, was definitely there. I mean, people were super hyped. I mean, I thought the crowd was really good for a scrimmage, personally, especially at that time of the day. And the team really did a good job just in general, I think, or the organization in terms of having the concessions and the merchandise and all that. I showed up in, you know, sweat shorts that were light colored, that were drenched in sweat within 5 minutes, and dropped like $60 on dry fit Jaguar shorts. So they really had their game on as far as revenue, focus on revenue. But from your perspective, what takeaways, I guess, do you have from scrimmage? You know, as JK3 alluded to, you know, it wasn't exactly a hard hitting affair, but was there anything from that you think maybe ended up becoming a decision maker with relation to the roster?
Well, the Saturday was a harder scrimmage. That Sunday was like a soft scrimmage. But you know what? Like, guys like Laquon Treadwell, you know, when he came in, I wasn't really sure where he kind of fit. And he's been really impressive throughout camp and in those scrimmages. I thought he did a good job. Tavon Austin was a guy that came in just before the scrimmage, and he ended up making some plays. but I thought Kalavon Chaisson's a guy that really kind of showed up in Saturday and Sunday, which is encouraging because, you know, of all the guys on that defense, he's the one with, I think, under the most pressure because you got nothing out of him last year. Now he's moving back to his natural position. He should be able to thrive here. But he was a guy that kind of opened my eyes a little bit because we had watched those one-on-ones with him and Walker Little. And he's getting thrown to the ground, and then he's getting thrown to the ground by Cam Robinson. And it was just like so shocking in a way to see him just get manhandled like that. And he really responded in that scrimmage. But, you know, in those scrimmages when it's not full tackling and all that other stuff, I mean, the skill guys are going to show out for sure. I mean, that's just what it's meant to do. But I thought Sidney Jones has had a really, really good camp. He's been working with the ones in C.J. Henderson's absence, and that was you know, I thought he played really well on Saturday as well. I mean, it's hard to, on Sunday, especially in the last 30 minutes of that scrimmage on Sunday, the guys weren't even trying. I mean, no one was rushing. No one was really covering. So Dewan Smoot, I think, has had a good camp, and he kind of flashed a little bit in the scrimmage as well. So that's a guy that, you know, they need him to step up because he's really the most experienced pass rusher they have after Josh Allen. And obviously, I mean, we all saw the throw on Sunday from Trevor, but it was the deep throw to Treadwell. But really, to me, the throw of the whole scrimmage on either day was the touchdown throw to James O'Shaughnessy, where he had Rusnak on his hip, and he just put the ball low in a way where only O'Shaughnessy could get it on an absolute tightrope. That's just a throw that Minshew – I don't think Minshew can make it, and I'm not sure Minshew would have attempted it either, to be honest with you. But, you know, in the last week I saw Jamal Agnew has really kind of come on too as a receiver, so that's encouraging to see. But the guys that I liked throughout practice too that I thought, you know, showed up at times in scrimmage, but it's hard for those offensive and defensive linemen. But Roy Robertson-Harris has had a good camp. Jihad Ward has had a good camp. It's going to be fun to kind of see how Joe Cullen moves those guys around because they have some flexibility to play multiple spots. So, you know, we'll see those guys line up in different spots. I think that defensive line is going to be pretty solid. I don't think there's any superstars on it, but they're going to be better than they were last year. And I guess one other guy that has really kind of stood out to me is Rayshon Jenkins. You know, I think he's really a good blitzer. You know, this defense is going to blitz a lot. And there have been times in camp where, you know, he's been up in the quarterback's face. He had a pass breakup the other day on a blitz. I mean, he's really, really surprised me with how good of a blitzer he is. So he's going to be a fun piece for them to kind of move around as well.
You know, Mike, traditionally, I've always said that when you have a new coaching staff and you bring in as many new pieces as the Jags have, defense usually catches on first before offense. That just, you know, because – your job besides to stay a little bit, you know, disciplined is to wreak as much havoc as possible. Whereas, right, you know, offensively, it's all about timing. So I'm hoping that's the case because I would, you know, although most fans might not like it, if there's a game that's 13-10, as long as we're on the 13 side of it, I could care less if our defense, you know, wreaked a little bit of havoc, you know?
Yeah, I think after watching the last year, though, I mean, I'll take some 35-31s. Man, I want to see some points. Please, God, let me see some.
The points are coming. They're coming, but they got to give our guy some time. You know, he's coming around. But you know, on the offensive side of the ball, you know, there's a little bit of Walker Little, Cam Robinson. Personally, I'm not buying into it because one, Cam's going to be in a contract year, so you know he's going to be constant professional, and he always kind of has been since he's been here. So, you know, that's going to be up for the coaches to decide. But between him and Little, man, like, what are you thinking? What's the kind of vibe you felt from being at the practices and talking to some of the coaches?
I talked to somebody who played in the league for a long time, and the thing, I mean, they couldn't stop raving about Walker Little, and the thing that they loved about Walker Little was, and I hadn't noticed this. I mean, I don't know much about offensive line. Like, I can't look at an offensive and defensive lineman and tell you what they're doing technique-wise and where their technique is bad. And, you know, is their hand placement bad? I ask people about that because I don't know. So I freely admit that. But this guy knows. And he said if you watch Walker Little, his feet are always in the right spot. He's never, like, leaning. He's never off balance. You know, a lot of times these guys, you know, Cam Robinson's thing is his feet are not always in the spot where they're supposed to be. So he's lunging and leaning, and that's how you get off balance. Walker Little is never off balance. And he said he never ducks his head. No matter if he's blocking in the run game, his head is up. He's seeing what's going on. If he's pass blocking, his head is up. He said when Baselli was playing, that's the way Baselli was. His head was always up. and he was never ducking. He was always seeing where he was going, which seems so simple, but it's apparently not. And that's not to say that this kid's going to be the next Boselli, but look, I think it's pretty clear to me. I mean, just talking to people around the franchise, that the plan is Cam's gone after this year and Walker Little's your starting left tackle. Now, wow. They've started to give him some reps at right tackle, which if I were Juwan Taylor, I would start to be a little worried about that, to be honest with you, because, you know, ESPN tracks pass rush wins and pass block rates. And based on our metrics, he gave up, 18 sacks last year. Juwan Taylor did. That's like one a game, 1.1 a game. I mean, that's terrible. That can't happen.
And it's so crazy because you usually on the offensive side, you look at the left tackle. You know, right. That's where the quarterback's blind side is coming from. So no one really, as long as he's not getting hit from that left side, you know, the right side is kind of like, okay, you're going to win, you're going to lose. But that's crazy. I didn't even think about that. 18 sacks. Yeah, oh, my God.
That's bad. I mean, it's awful. So, but the interesting thing is they're cross-training Little at both spots. So I think they view him as the swing tackle at this point right now. If he were to win a starting job, I'm not so sure what they do after that then, because Juwan's a right tackle. He can't play left. And Cam Robinson has never played right. So, you know, does that mean is Will Richardson going to be the guy that then becomes a swing tackle? Like if you bench Cam, he can only play left. So then you have to figure out what you're going to do, I guess, on game days in terms of active players, because what if there's another injury? But, you know, maybe then it's moved Walker Little to right and Cam goes back in at left. But, you know, he's a guy, he'll be the starting left tackle for this team definitely in 2022 and, you know, beyond.
And that's a good thing. You mentioned his base and his hand placement. And, you know, we try not to get too technical, but if you have those natural habits already, if they're just natural for offensive linemen, that's like half the battle right there.
Right.
So,
and another thing too, the defense, they're always looking for a tell, you know, like if you, any poker players or anyone out there, like a tell, you know, just seeing if he has his head down or look at the whites of his knuckles, if he's going to stay, you know, going to go run or, you know, the way that the technology is right now, it's so hard to hide any tendencies or any flaws that you have. And if he's coming in and doing the basics and he has the same alignment, the same stance, and you have no idea if you should shoot off the ball and then run past this guy and then it's a run play or, you know, kind of lay off your rush a little bit and then it's a pass play. He's got you right where he wants you almost in every situation. It's insane.
And the thing that I really like about him too is he's doing these one-on-ones with Kalavon Chaisson. And Chaisson got a little frustrated and kind of, you know, wouldn't let go after the whistle or after the end of the play. And, you know, Walker Little was like, okay, well, I'm not going to let go either. And they kind of got a little chippy and all that stuff. Look, that's what I want out of my guy on the offensive line. I want that. I want my offensive lineman to be just as likely to stick his finger in your face mask and poke your eye than he is to hit, help you up after a play. And Walker Little has that attitude. Look, there are numerous draft experts that had said, had he played the year before, come out, he would have been a first round pick. You know what I mean? He was that good. He was regarded as a first round pick. So for the Jags to get him where they got him, that's a steal, an absolute steal.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Awesome. Well, one of the things that, you know, that kind of came out of camp that a lot of fans have been kind of following and we noticed of was DJ Chark. He was having an amazing camp. You saw some of the things that he was doing with Urban, you know, some of the things that the Jags media had posted and things that I had seen, you know, while going to a couple of the camps. And then he gets a finger surgery. You know, so what do you know about that finger surgery? Minor, major, you know, how's it going to impact him, you know, in this 2021 season?
Well, I saw him today. He had a brace on the other day, and then today he didn't. He just had his middle finger wrapped. So based on where the wrap was, it looks like it's the break might have been, you know, between the fingertip and that second knuckle. And they put, you know, they put a little plate in there. So, I mean, it shouldn't be an issue. He should be ready to go. And to be honest with you, it might end up being some, I mean, it could be something, you know, if this were a playoff game going this week, it looks like something he could probably play with. It wouldn't be pleasant, but he could play with it. But, you know, get that thing plated, get it fixed. Let's go. Let him heal until the first game. You know, he doesn't need to play in the preseason. So, I mean, he'll be fine.
And so I know like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I think we were talking about the wideouts and some of the teams. And you said that these guys actually look like football players. The receiver room now, you know, I think the shortest guy is Marvin Jones, I think, would be probably the shortest at, what, five?
Philip Dorsett at 5'10".
5'10". Okay, so Dorsett at 5'10". Still taller than your average guy. So, yes. I mean, how do these guys look compared to, you know, receiving rooms in the past?
Yeah, it's much deeper than it's been in, since I've been here. And, you know, since I started covering this team in 2013, I mean, Marvin Jones, a 10-year guy. Dorsett's a 7-year guy. These are veteran guys. I mean, Laquan Treadwell is a former first-round pick. Taven Austin's a former first-round pick. I mean, these guys, there's a good mix of experienced guys, and it's a good mix of young guys. And like you said, they are a big group. I mean, Chark is, what, 6'4"? I'm just looking down right here. Colin Johnson, 6'6". Even Taven Austin is I'm sorry. I missed Taven Austin. He's 5'8". But, you know, I think it's the most complete position group that they have on the roster. And I absolutely loved the Marvin Jones signing. I thought that was one of those signings that not enough people nationally paid attention to it in the spring. But when the season's over, people are going to go, what an underrated signing that was, because he's such a pro. And, man, he catches. Now, he had a couple of drops, but, man, he can go up and get a ball. He's still got the speed to get deep, and he's 30 years old. He's been so productive. That's the best thing in the world for a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, to give him a veteran receiver like that. I just think that position group, that's why I think they can score a ton of points, because of that group right there. And I didn't even mention LaVisca, who's had a fantastic camp too. I just hope they use him right. He's not a traditional slot receiver. Okay. He's just not. He's just built too big to really do that. Now, he can play some there. I do hope that they continue to give him the ball in the backfield at times, and they move him around and do a lot of different things with him, because I think that's where he can really be at his best. But, man, that group right there, Trevor Lawrence should not have any trouble putting up 3,500, 4,000 yards with that group of receivers there. No problem at all.
Now, wait a second now. You say Trevor Lawrence because, you know, according to Urban Meyer,
right?
I will tell you that one of your fellow media folks, Pete Prisco, who I love listening to, has been ruthless in his analysis of Urban Meyer's quote-unquote quarterback competition. What's your take on that? I mean, I guess we can understand it's like the whole you got to earn it type thing, but I mean, nobody's fooled, right? I mean, we all know what's really going to happen. So what's the deal?
I mean, look, like you said, I get it. He wants to make Trevor earn it, but guys, like, the day you secured the number one pick after that Bears game was the day Trevor Lawrence became the starting quarterback of this team in 2020. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, look, Minshew's had a good camp. He really has. I mean, he's only thrown one pick in 7-7 and 11-11. So he's had a really, really good camp. I give him credit. But there's throws he can't make. There's throws he won't make. And, he has his limitations. And Trevor is the real deal. So I'm expecting Trevor to be the starter on opening day. And my thing is, look, I'm personally, I'm not a big fan of the rotating first team days where they're Trevor and Minshew rotate. Look, this is your guy. You took him first overall. He's a generational quarterback prospect. He's supposed to be your starter for the next 10 to 15 years. Okay. He's a rookie. You keep saying, Urban Meyer, you keep saying, this is not a 3-year plan, 4-year plan. It's a win now. I want to win now. Well, that guy gives you the best chance to win. So he should take every rep with the first team at every single practice, because you need to get him as much experience and up to speed as you possibly can. And having him work with the second team offensive line is just not getting it done. You got to get him reps with that first team offensive line. You got to get him reps with the number one receivers, the number one tight ends, whatever rotation you're working with the backs. Give him as much simulated game stuff as you possibly can. And doing it with Trevor Wallace Sims and Casey McDermott in front of him is not, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. I mean, those are nice guys, but it doesn't work for me. It doesn't make sense.
And those names don't even sound good out of your
and look, if you roll him out in a preseason game and he is taking snaps behind that second team offensive line, and somebody gets free, blows an assignment, what have you, and someone rolls up on this kid's knee, and then he tears an ACL and he's out for the year, you look like an idiot because you put him behind a line that you know was deficient. So just get him his reps with the first team, get him some game reps in these preseason games, and get him out of there. He's your starter. I mean, that's – you don't need to soothe Gardner Minshew's feelings. Yeah, I mean, this is not – you're not trying to keep 2 5-star quarterbacks happy so the other guy doesn't transfer. Trevor's your guy. Take the reps with the ones.
Oh, let's go.
How many snaps do you think he gets on Saturday night?
Probably 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be a ton. Because I think, you know, I went on that rant, but I'll say this. The one thing about Urban is, for whatever else he is and whatever else people think he is, he's a really smart guy, okay? So I really don't believe that he thinks that there's a competition. He's just playing the game that he has to play. But I also don't think that he won't be dumb enough to put Trevor on the field and jeopardize his health. So I think, you know, if you keep those first team guys out there, that first team offensive line especially, I think if they get 20 snaps, I think you'll see Trevor get 10, and then I think you'll see Minshew get 10 with those that first team line, and then they get those guys out of there. So I would
just enough to sell tickets. Just enough for the season ticket reps to go ahead and get some more calls. You know, we can get T-Law to get a couple of long passes, you know, some intermediate routes, maybe get Tebow a pass here and there. You know, just to sell those tickets, right?
Just get, you know, look, that's, you got one preseason game. Look, nobody wants to show up there and watch Gardner Minshew throw 30 passes in that game. Nobody does. Mel, maybe a few people do. But let's be honest. Everybody wants to see Trevor. Did any of you guys go to the scrimmage to watch 15 sling it? No, you didn't.
You know, and the crazy part, and you know, he probably obviously doesn't listen to us, but I'm going to go ahead and say it for Urban Meyer, for coaches.
He is listening. What are you talking about? Yes,
yeah. He does. Okay. Listen. Oh, he's listening. He's listening.
He subscribes on listening. Apple Podcasts. He left a 5-star review. Of course, he listens to this podcast.
You got a quarterback on your roster that took a vicious shot behind the offensive line about 2 years ago in a preseason game.
Thinking about that today. Just talking about
you remember
today.
That? So we don't need Trevor behind that Olay offensive line. And you know what Olay is, right? Where the Bulls come in and you got the red cape. Olay. Yeah. We don't need that.
Can you imagine the reaction in that stadium if he gets hammered and his helmet pops off on his back?
Can you imagine that reaction? He better run quick to his house and lock the door.
Tebow time.
He better get to the house as fast as he can. You know, I was going to move to defense, but I thought of something. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he said, you know, forget, you know, it's for the mental part. The reason why coach is not putting, you know, a starter label on Trevor Lawrence. He said, you know, what they ought to do is to really prove a point, if you could do it, clear everybody out, no media, no fans, no nothing, no music, and just listen to the two throws between the two quarterbacks. And he goes, one would be like a streaming whistle, and the other one would just be kind of like a bomb, you know, just kind of a falling duck. Yeah. And I said, so, you know, so I'm assuming you're calling Minshew's arm a falling duck. And he's like, well, yeah, I am. I'm like, all right,
what,
you know, the guy's taking some
Bortles passes sound like that.
No comment.
That's my guy now. I'm not going to say anything bad about my guy. I love me some Blake now.
No comment. But it just reminded me of that conversation. But switching up here to the defense, Cisco, man, a lot of question marks coming off the knee injury. Not sure, you know, what's going to happen, how he's going to start. But, you know, been some, you know, positive, productive things. You know, what have you seen from Cisco?
You know, he runs and moves around out there like he never had the ACL injury. I mean, it's pretty amazing because it's not even a year yet, and he's moving around really, really well. I think by midseason, it'll be him and Rayshon Jenkins as your starting safeties. I really like what they did in the secondary, especially with him and Tyson Campbell. I think those are two guys that are going to really, maybe not this year, but as they get more experience and as they get older, those are going to be the two big-time players in that secondary. I mean, Tyson Campbell is – I forget how big he is. When you watch him move, he moves like a guy that's not – as that would be smaller than what he is. I mean, he's really, really smooth. And Cisco's the same way. So, look – Jared Wilson's a nice guy, and he's a really smart, heady player, and I think you keep him around in that secondary for good depth because of those things. But, man, Cisco can be a big-time playmaker, and I'm just – like I said, I'm just stunned at how well he's moving that soon after the ACL. I mean, he doesn't even look like he got hurt.
And that's good. That's good to hear. Thing I like, you know, and obviously we're talking about college stats versus the NFL, guys, but is the turnovers.
Yeah.
Okay. Having a nose for the ball, something we haven't had since the famous five left. If they want the Jackson Five, famous five, whatever they want to call themselves, since their departure. But we've got to get some more turnovers. You got to have someone that's not afraid, you know, to go after the ball. With Wilson, I almost feel like, yeah, you're right. You know, good steady player. But sometimes I feel like he was worried about too much of the back end and afraid to go up and try to make a play. And at safety, you can't hesitate. It's no. One or the other. You got to either go for it or you got to stay back. And yeah, you can stay back. That's fine. But if you're getting gashed for 20 yards of play, you know, you got to go up and, you know, close that off, you know, no matter what coverage you're in. So that's good to hear that he's doing that. It doesn't even look like he's been hurt. And, you know, the advancements in health technology nowadays, you know, ACL is kind of, there was 20, 25 years ago, it was like, oh gosh, he's,
yeah,
you know, 2 years, you know, now it's
may
like,
be over. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think Adrian Peterson set the tone 10 years ago when he came back 8 months later and ran for like almost 2,000 yards. and now, ever since then, everybody's kind of like followed that pattern. But no, that's good to hear about him. And I'm excited too about that, about him hopefully coming in and cracking that starting lineup.
Yeah, I think it, like I said, it'll be him. This draft class, I think, is going to be. I don't know how many of them will end up starting this year, but man, that could be the core group of guys that gets this defense really kind of on the upswing and hopefully gets them somewhere close to what they were in 2017.
Yeah, yeah. One of the questions that we do that we just got to know, the selection process for the emojis while you're summing up training camp performances. I mean, one day it's hamburgers, hot dogs. I'm like, yep. All right, so what is he like? You know, the stats are pretty close then. And then you completely threw us off for a loop when you had the peaches and,
yeah.
You know, we're confused. And I don't think you're hip with the lingo for the kids.
I knew what I was getting into on that. I did.
Okay. You put a bunch of pieces up there.
I did.
It's a confusing message.
I was like, you know what? Most of my – I have two I have two kids. They're 24, 22. So I'm kind of, know some of that stuff, but I was like, most of my people that follow me, I thought might be a little older, and I was going for the whole Georgia Peach thing. That's, you know, in hindsight, I would have done that differently.
But,
it just depends on the day. Like the one I did today, it was sort of breakfast food. And it's like my own personal rankings, like which breakfast, like the guy that had the best day, you know, I think I might've been Luton maybe. So like everybody loves pancakes. So I gave him pancake. He was the pancakes guy. I mean, okay. You know, I was going to do like up and down every day, but then I was like, well, what am I going to do for like Luton and Bethard? You know, and Luton's getting like one throw. I mean, and you know, I just didn't want to do the arrows or the fire or stuff like that. So I just decided to just start throwing up. There's really no rhyme or reason to what it is, to be honest with you.
We know you don't like salads because I know one day someone got a salad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh boy, that was not a good day.
I probably should eat more salads, but yes, I use that as the bad one.
I was like, dang, JK3, what are you saying?
I mean, some people just don't like salads. I mean,
I love salads. I do actually like salads, but like, if you're going to give me a choice between like pizza or I think a burger or whatever the other thing was, yeah, we're going to eat the pizza and the burger first.
I'll be interested when you start using the pets. Like then we'll be able to tell if you're a cat guy or a dog guy or a gerbil or whatever they have.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what I would do there. I got to stay away from the goat though. I would use the goat.
Nah. Too many. The same reaction you'll get from the peaches will be the same thing if we use the goat. So don't use the goat.
Well, one of my kids was like, "Dad, why don't you use the eggplant?" I'm like, "I'm not that dumb."
I'm not that dumb guy. Oh, they tried to set you up.
Nice try, but I'm not that dumb, fellas.
That's they so tried funny. To set you up.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's terrible.
This is why I gave you such a plug about your Twitter handle at the beginning of the episode is for this sort of stuff. No, we appreciate it, Mike. You taking all this time chatting with us. Great stuff as always. Again, if you're not already following Mike and his does that emoji system classify as analytics, maybe like the way you classify that sort of stuff? Is that in the same realm?
One day I went away from the food and some guy was like, "Where's the food? Bring the food back." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll do the food." So today was breakfast foods and Luton got two donuts, I think. Because he was the best. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, we'll have to figure something else out. I mean, I'm running out of stuff. I was going to try and do buildings, but that doesn't really even make any sense. So I don't. But I'll have to stay off food for a little bit. We'll have to come up with something different now.
Yeah. Well, you can vet them through us if you want. We each have kids and we can make sure you're on track. We'll take care of you.
All right.
Awesome. But we appreciate it. At ESPN Duraco, of course, we'll throw the Twitter handle in the tweet when we post the episode as well. But Mike, you know, covers the Jags for ESPN, by far our favorite guest, and we're always super excited when you come on, Mike. So we really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I really appreciate you guys asking me. It's a lot of fun. I like doing it every year. Really, really do.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, if you guys are on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review. We love when you leave us 5 stars, but also add some fun comments in there as well. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify and Google Podcasts as well. And again, we are affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. So again, thank you for listening and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifydhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.